You're listening to the God Center Mom Podcast with me, Heather McFadden. As the mom of four young boys, I know motherhood's hard. But sometimes I think I make it harder than it needs to be by putting myself in the center of things or even my kids. I forget to place God there and be led by His Spirit. I also tend to forget that I'm surrounded by God. He goes before me, He walks with me on the hard days, and He comes behind me when I make a mistake. So each week I'll interview someone new and we'll discuss what it means to be a God-centered mom. Thanks for listening. Well, welcome to the God-Centered Mom Podcast. I have interviewed lots of different people so far, and we've just gotten started. It's very exciting. And I've had some of my mentors on, my mentor mom, and even my dad, and Trisha Goyer. I've had some peers on, like Haley Morgan. And now I'm excited to interview another peer, but I also kind of feel like she's like, I don't know, would you call me your mentor? I should introduce you. So today I have Crystal Stein on, and Crystal is the mother of one adorable little girl. And her name's Maddie. How old is she?
She's two. She just turned two in November.
Okay. She's so stinking cute. And I have like an almost 2-year-old, but since he's my baby, I just view yours as different. Like you're just, she's adorable. But okay, since that's like my youngest and that's like your only right now, I mean, am I your mentor? Let's just say it. I'm your mentor.
You are. Totally. I look up my mentor. I look up to you in everything you do.
Yes.
Absolutely everything.
Yes.
I stalk everything you do.
Excellent. So this interview is me with my mentee. No, I just felt like it would be good to represent some for anyone listening who is in a similar place as you, Crystal. It'd be good to have you on the podcast and talking about God-centeredness and motherhood and your journey. And you kind of shared with me some of your story, and I thought it would resonate with listeners. So welcome. And Crystal, I was going to mention before we get into the interview, you are a working mom who just got a really cool new job. Your new job is and you told me, so I know all the fancy words, editorial and marketing manager for Encourage.com. It's a very cool title.
Encourage.me.
Oh my goodness. Already doing a good job marketing. She's got it. Encourage.me. I'll make sure to put that in the show notes.
See if I was on it.
Yeah. You're ahead of the job. You're already doing your research. And then you also do some VA work, which is like a virtual assistant helping bloggers and others with blog reviews and editing. Cool stuff.
Yeah.
Very cool stuff. Okay. So let's go backwards though. To before you became a mom, what was your story? Were you like gung ho, couldn't wait to have 40 million children? What was your story?
No, that is not my story, and that actually makes me kind of break out into hives even thinking about it now when you said it, which is funny. And by the way, your intro makes me sound way cooler than I am in real life. I am such a nerd. So I grew up in a home with a single mom, and so I remember whenever I was little not wanting a family necessarily. I didn't want to be a mom. I didn't want to put my kids through, you know, sort of what we were going through and the challenges of that situation. And I have an amazing mom and, you know, amazing stepfather and just really great family. But in my head, I just had this vision of myself growing up, and I was going to go to a fancy college, and I was going to get an amazing degree, and I was going to go travel the world, and I was going to live in New York, and I was going to, even then, I wanted to do something in editing and writing, and I wanted to work for a fancy newspaper or a magazine as an editor, and live in, you know, an apartment, which I now know I'd never be able to afford, because when you're a kid, you don't know that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It just seems like that's what people do in the movies. And so it totally made sense that this would be my life. I would be a walking movie. And kids did not play a part in any of that. And it took a really long time, actually, for God to heal a lot of that struggle. And part of it was, you know, not necessarily trusting that I would be a good mom, and I still have struggles with that. And because I never grew up around little kids, and I never grew up around toddlers or babies or anything, and I didn't know what to do with them, and they totally freaked me out when I was around them. And so I didn't think I was cut out for it. I was like, God didn't put me in any of the situations to prepare me for having this kind of life experience. And so I just assumed that, you know, I'd probably get married. But, you know, to go with my whole movie-like dream thing, I was very ambitious and also very, had it in my head that I could do it all myself and I wouldn't need to rely on anybody else. And so over the course of, it took 28 years, God slowly started to heal different parts of that for me. And so he healed the trust issue that I had and put me together with my amazing husband. We actually are high school sweethearts. So we started dating the summer before our senior year of high school and stayed together through college. And, you know, part of those dreams did come true for me. I went to Villanova, so I got to cross the fancy schmancy, crazy expensive, and now regret having the college loan school office. So I can't say that that one worked out in the end exactly how I planned, but I do have the diplomas hanging on the wall.
Isn't that true? Like, we have these visions of these great goals that, like, to the world seem amazing, and then we look back and we're like, that's not actually my favorite thing. Like,
yeah, so like, far I'm still paying for that college education.
Yeah, like, really, I would have been, you know, maybe, I don't know.
I know. I probably would have been just as happy getting that same degree somewhere else and being able to, I don't know, but it was.
Did your husband go there too, or did you?
He did not. Okay. No, we did the long distance relationship thing the whole time. And so he actually became a master. If anybody ever needs tips on how to transfer colleges, he did it, I think, 5 times.
Wow.
While I stayed in one place. He wasn't really settled on the college thing. You know, through all of that, and so we dated all through college and then got married, and he was very aware that I was skeptical about motherhood. And
you told him from the get-go, like,
I did.
The kids are, like, not my thing, and he was fine with that.
He was quietly, he wasn't supportive of it, but I think that he was aware that God was going to change my mind before I did. Mm. And that always happens with him, where, you know, he will look at a situation that we're going through or something I say, and he just kind of quietly stands back and lets God do the work, because he knows that that's not the end answer. And so he was just kind of like, okay, well, he's like, it's not a decision we have to make, you know, the second we get married. So he's like, that's fine. Yeah. And, you know, then of course, you know, after God continued to work on my heart and just put just different situations, it was so funny, you know, the first 5 years of our marriage, it was, no, we're not having kids. We're happy. We're just going to, you know, be the two of us and travel and do all this stuff. And it was great. And then all of a sudden our friends started having kids.
Yeah. That messes it up, doesn't it?
And my sister had our niece, and, you know, we'd go out for weekends and we'd hang out with them. And we were finally both around babies and toddlers. And we realized it's actually, you know, we're not sending them back broken, or, and they actually kind of like us. And, you know, we're terrified of this, but it's not a definite no anymore. And so it took a while. It did. And it, so.
Yeah, I think in our story, it was kind of a similar, I was the opposite. I like couldn't wait to have babies. And the second we got married, I was like, let's have kids. And I hadn't even worked yet. And so my husband is wiser, and he said, well, let's just wait a little while. And so we waited 6 years, but for him, and he was 4 years older than me. So, yeah, I think for him to switch over to be ready was when he had a nephew. And, like, for some reason, like, a blood relative thing, seeing, you know, that person walking around and seeing the connection he had, he realized, oh, this, I could, you know, this does start making my heart pitter-patter for some, you know, little person in our home. Who knew there'd be four little people, but
that's yeah, so far, ours is just the one, and we are okay with that. We are okay with that.
I'm also encouraged by your story that your husband was patient. and not badgering? Was he badgering? I mean,
he didn't. No. Okay. Every once in a while we would talk about it, and you know, it was something that we both really felt like at a certain point we wanted to start praying about it, because you know, we didn't want to jump into being parents just because all of our friends were. We knew that was absolutely not the right reason. And so it just got to the point where, you know, we didn't really talk about it a lot. It was sort of something that we both just agreed we would pray about. And then, you know, we both were getting the same strong message from God that, you know, okay, I think that this is something that God's calling us to, is to start our family now.
So once you decided, was it like done deal?
Well, yes and no. And this is, it's funny, you had asked me to think about, you know, some of the more humbling moments of being a mom. And, you know, part of my whole plan for my life growing up was that I only ever did things that I knew I would be successful at. I did not take risks that I thought I would fail at. And so it made me feel more successful, because everything I did, I got to check off a list and say, you know, oh, I did a great job. I was able to do that. I knew I could do it. But it's because I wasn't doing anything scary or hard. Mm-hmm. And so I just assumed, okay, it doesn't seem that hard. We're going to start a family and that's going to be it. And, you know, we did get pregnant right away whenever we decided that we wanted to start trying. And it was great. I was like, look, another thing I'm successful at, you know, that was super easy. And then it was a really, really humbling experience for us, because we miscarried that baby at 12 weeks. And so right at that moment we had, you know, felt like we were getting through, you know, all those scary weeks that, you know, you're just not sure how things are going to go. And the end was in sight. And we're like, oh, we're almost to the second trimester. We had the plan on how we were going to tell our family, and, you know, all the cute little things for my niece that, you know, we were going to give her to help celebrate. And it's not how it turned out at all. And it was right before Thanksgiving that it happened. And it was really a very, very hard year for us over the holidays. Because in our heads we had planned, like, this is just going to go so smoothly and we're going to have all of this great stuff to celebrate, you know, and be thankful for over Thanksgiving and Christmas, and, you know, think of all the things we're going to get to buy. And
yeah,
suddenly it's just gone. And, you know, it was really, it was hard for me emotionally and physically, but also just spiritually, because I was questioning, why did God finally open my heart to this? And then I don't get to experience it. And for me now, looking back, you know, it reinforced for us, you know, we knew that we wanted to start our family, but after we lost that baby, there was no going back. We were going to have a child. You know, and we didn't realize how desperately we were going to want to move forward after that.
Yeah.
And so, it's one of those, thing that's still hard. It was 3 years ago, and even this Thanksgiving, you know, Matt, my husband, and I, we talked about it even this year over Thanksgiving, just, you know, thinking back about how hard that season was, and just how much God has redeemed it, though, through Madison. So,
well, and I think that that's like more often people's story. It's rare that I meet a mom that hasn't gone through a miscarriage. And I'm just thankful that we live in a time where women are willing to talk about it and to talk about the heartache and to talk about the process they went through spiritually. And you even sharing, you know, questioning God. I think it's okay to question God and say, why God? Because he wants us to talk to him and it connects us to his heart. He's not scared by our questions. Job questioned. And for me, I had a miscarriage between my first and my second. And I remember when I first found out I was pregnant, like, they would have been really close in age, and I was kind of frustrated. And God, why would I be pregnant with, you know, it's too close. And then when I lost the baby, I was like devastated. And like you said, you hadn't really wanted to have kids, and you finally come around to it. And why, God, why did you take this child away from me? And yet, my story for my second son is, if I had had that child, you wouldn't mm-hmm. be with us. And the same exactly. for you. Like, if I'd had yep. that child, we wouldn't have Maddie. And it's part of her story, her mm-hmm. God story of, you know, my life was special and God planned for me before. Yeah. And just it just helps build our faith that even the hardest things eventually have purpose, eventually. Mm, not something you want to hear in the moment, but you had the miscarriage, and how long after did you get pregnant
again? It was a couple months. Probably, let me think. I'm awful at this. I think it was February, I guess, the next year, so it didn't take too long.
Yeah.
So, because she was born in November. I think that math works. I don't know. I'm really... if that doesn't make sense, somebody can correct me in the show notes.
It's okay.
They're like, no, that would have been like 80 yeah. months.
Right, right. Yeah. Some reasonable... But, it wasn't like years of
It was the next year. And it was, you know, it was terrifying, to be honest, because of everything we had gone through, all of those... It's sort of that ignorance is bliss thing is gone after that first experience. And so every time we had a doctor's appointment and every time we did anything for those first 12 weeks, it was constantly comparing it to what happened last time and what happened with our first baby. Mm. So there wasn't a whole lot of joy in those first 12 weeks. It was a lot of fear and anxiety and a lot of things that God really, you know, worked us through and walked us through because – you know, in our minds, what we should have been feeling and what we should have been excited for was replaced with such fear. And we didn't want that, but we didn't know how else to respond. And so it was a time of real growth for us, both together as a husband and wife, and then also individually spiritually, because we really just had to lean on God because there was absolutely nothing. We knew at that point there was nothing we could do to control the situation. And I am so type A that I have color-coded spreadsheets and checklists and everything. And so, you know, anything being out of my control is just terrifying for me sometimes. And so this was one of those moments where, and it's funny when I look back on it now with a 2-year-old, I was like, that was only the beginning. I'm not in control of anything anymore.
Well,
and
that's
like,
what I was going to ask.
When he asked about the humbling thing, I'm like, I'm pretty sure that I feel like I fail all the time as a mom and everything is just trial by error.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, you know, the humbling and the having the children that we lose control. It's like our first little taste. And then it's just a daily reminder.
It is.
That we're out of control.
It just makes me so grateful. The whole, you know, once we got through those first 12 weeks and we could really focus on the fact that we were going to have this amazing little girl. And she has just changed our lives. She has taught me more about God and more about my faith and more about myself because she's my little mini me. I mean, everything she looks like me. She, you know, there's just things that she does where I just feel God whispering, you know, that's how I feel about you, or, you know, that's how I see you, or, you know, just little moments like that where I just can step back and God saying, see how much joy she takes in those small things. Will you just do that too? Yeah. Because I get so caught up in the detail. And so, she has just been such a blessing to us. And I mean, of course, there are the crazy, ridiculous days where she, you know, throws the 20-minute temper tantrum on the floor, and I'm not sure if I should just walk away or try to scoop her up or ice water on her. Like, what am I supposed to do right now? You know, but it's been.
I'll tell you, that is easier to handle by the fourth time around.
What do you do? Do you just walk away?
Like, there's times when I know he just needs to be held and that'll make him feel better. And there's times when it's like he didn't get his way and he's mad that I just kind of am like, I'm sorry you're sad, and I walk away and like no attention. But before it just felt like this pull of like, why are you doing this to me? Like, how dare you throw a tantrum? I mean, it felt so much more personal and I was so much more emotionally wrapped up in there. Tantrums than I am now. Like, I literally can see it as this is the stage. I've seen this stage three times before. We will get through this stage. So
yes. Good. Oh, there's hope.
There is hope. And I think that with my first poor guy, just the total guinea pig. Right. I mean, every stage for him it's the first time I've ever experienced it. So I have all these high expectations that he should act a certain way, forgetting that he's only eight. But like eight in our little family, that's like the grown up. So you need to act like a grown up. You can't be like an 8 year old. You need to be like a 20 year old. So anyway, and then the baby, it's like, oh, you're just a little baby. Like in your world, he's the oldest. Yours is the oldest. Go ahead.
I know. And she, it's funny, we have that conversation too about forgetting how old she is or young she is, I guess, really, because she goes to daycare because I do work and my husband's a teacher. And so we found an amazing Christian daycare and we just love them so much. And so, I mean, she comes home singing Jesus Loves Me and it's the cutest thing on the planet. And we absolutely adore her teachers, but she is learning so much so fast from being there and just being immersed with all the older kids and all the teachers and everything that they're you know, helping her with, that we forget that she's only two sometimes. And so we have these moments where we're like, why are we expecting her to be able to sit or be quiet or, you know, behave a certain way? And she's two. We're like, this isn't in her brain right now to even know how to do any of these things. And yet there's certain things she's advanced in that we forget that she's not this, you know, little adult. She's two. She's a toddler, you know. Yes. And so she's going to get frustrated and she doesn't have the vocabulary to express herself completely. And so sometimes it's, you know, a moment for us just to step back and, you know, be humbled again that, you know, all right, we're expecting too much. And, you know, it's in those moments too where, you know, I have those, you know, God speaks to me and it's like, you know, I don't have those expectations for you either. You put those on yourself too. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, God, another lesson for my toddler. Like I could probably write a whole book on lessons God teaches me from toddlers.
Yes. Yeah, totally. But because like we're in the sanctification process, right? We haven't arrived until we get to heaven. We won't be exactly Christ-like, but we have expectations that we should be perfectly peace-filled and perfectly loving and perfectly kind. And we're not. This is a journey of becoming like him. And through his spirit, we can have moments of Christ-likeness, but there's no way we can be Christ every day, day in, day out. And poor Crystal, let me just say, poor Crystal has had this horrible virus. We postponed our interview just because of her poor cold. So excuse her cough. And then she's got a little background coffee shop sound, if you haven't noticed. So
yeah, there's our little... makes everyone really productive.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so thank you for sharing your mom's story and thank you for sharing how you were humbled. Let's spend the last few minutes just talking about how do you, in those times when you just are like, want to throw your hands up and say, forget it. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm a failure as a mom. How do you get back recentered to how God sees you? You kind of alluded to when, you know, your daughter kind of reveals a lot of God's pleasure in you through your pleasure in her. Are there any other like tips you have for a young mom or a new mom for how to get God-centered?
I'm not perfect at this, and it's funny. It's one of the things that I constantly, every year, I'm like, I'm going to try so much harder to be good at this. And I think it's just one of those, you know, lifelong processes for me that's just going to be me trying to just stay in the Word. And for me, the way that I stay, you know, centered is I have a group of real-life friends who all had kids around the same time as me, and so they have little ones the same age as me, and so I have them that I can email at any time of day and say, this is happening in my house right now and I feel like I'm going crazy and tell me that this goes away soon. And they just cover me in prayer and tell me that it's going to be fine and point me back to Jesus. And that is such a blessing to me to be able to have that community that I can go to, because I think that's so important, that motherhood can feel very lonely and you can feel like you're in it all by yourself, especially whenever it's new and you don't want to tell anybody else that you feel like you're failing because you're supposed to have it all together, because that's just, you know, what our, you know, Pinterest perfect society tells us that we can't put anything out there that's not edited and wonderful and, you know, has a beautiful filter on it. And so I think it's so important to have that community, even if it's just one person or if it's, you know, women from church or, you know, other moms that you know online, whatever it is, to have that community that you can go to and just say, you know, this is honestly what's happening right now, and know that they won't try to fix it for you, but that they'll be there in prayer and support and love, and sometimes even the sharing truth in love, which you don't always want to hear, but, you know, sometimes just, you know, giving you that, okay, get over yourself, it's going to be fine, is sort of the, you know, what I need to move forward in my day.
Where did you where did you find those friends?
I have known, well, one of them is my sister, my twin sister, so I've known her.
You have
her
a twin sister? That's like, hello, we should have that be your first defining thing. I was going to ask you when you were talking about your home life, if you had any siblings, and that would have totally led into twin sister.
I know. Well, it was funny. The connection with my niece when she was an infant was so much more special, I think, because she really, there was no transition to warm up to me at all, because she could, our girls can both tell us apart. I mean, they know who's mommy and who's the aunt. But they were both very, just loving immediately to both of us when we had our girls. And so it was just, that was really special that there was no sort of adjustment period to get used to somebody. She was just kind of like, okay, you're almost mommy. So that's cool.
Very cool. So you have a twin sister, and then where did the other people come from?
Oh, the other two girls, Janelle and Heidi, I have known for more than a dozen years. We became friends when my sister started dating her husband, and her husband was in a band with their husbands, well, their future husbands at that point. They were, so I know it goes back a long time. So we've known each other since we were dating our husbands, and we were in each other's weddings, and we all had kids around the same time, and three of the four of us all live in the same town. So
that is a blessing. We moved a lot when we were first married, and we don't live where either of us grew up. So we kind of had to start fresh. But I was blessed to have a core group of women that I know I can call in a heartbeat, text in a heartbeat, just get prayer, hugs over at church. They were all in our like Sunday school class at the time, and then on to small group. But I do think that is huge. I do think, you know, sometimes God-centered, we immediately go to the Bible and prayer. And those are essential. But we forget the community aspect of other moms, and not the kind, like, I've had been in play groups where it's a competition the whole time.
Who's
walking
so hard.
First, and especially with your first, I'll warn you, it gets better. I'll warn you.
Yeah.
I'll encourage you. It gets better. Not warn you, encourage you. It gets better. Like, I just felt like everyone was on their first. And so the only way to know how you're doing was to compare. Because you couldn't compare to your other children, so you're going to compare to everybody else's other children. And it was just, you know, how are you feeding your baby? How is your baby going to bed? It was constant. I don't know. It wasn't as much encouraging as it was sometimes.
Yeah,
more
we're in the, oh, is she potty trained yet?
Yeah.
Oh, you potty trained yours at 18 months? Oh, no.
Worst
so now
ever.
I'm like, can I just admit I'm putting it off because I'm scared?
Yes, please do. Just don't. No, put it off because it's wise. That's my two cents. I'm sure someone review that I'm like anti-potty training. But with four boys, one of my, you know, people say, what was your biggest mistake? It was forcing my oldest son to be potty trained and just crying one Easter weekend because a friend had said, you put pull-ups on him? You should never put pull-ups on him. Da-da-da-da. And so I'm like sitting there over him on the toilet, like screaming at him to go potty because we had to go to dinner and I didn't want to put a pull-up on him because he knew he'd have an accident at the restaurant. I will totally regret that. Like anything that like negatively impacts your relationship with your children is not okay. And so adding extra stress to potty training, not okay in my book.
I know. I feel like we could have a whole separate podcast just talking about that topic.
Yes. Yes, totally. Okay, so your God-centered tip number one is have a group of friends that encourages you, that you can be vulnerable with, you can share real struggles, and they will come alongside you. And then you started to say another thing when I interrupted you. What's your second thing?
Yeah, the second thing for me is just finding ways to stay in the Word that fit your current season in life and your current schedule, because for me, I don't have time to spend 2 hours in the morning, you know, digging deep into scripture and having this extended quiet time and playing worship music. And I really do want that in my life. And so I've tried to find ways to make it work that doesn't necessarily look like any program that's out there, but it works for me. And so, you know, I do Hello Mornings, which I just love. A lot of times that works really well for me because I'll get up early and, you know, I don't always necessarily do the exact study, but it gives me a reason to be awake and be in scripture, even if it's just for a little bit, and check in online, which I'm there anyway. So that kind of fits my season of life right now. And getting up early has been so important. And I haven't been doing it lately just because I've been sick, and sleep trumps Bible study when you're sick, yes. Sadly. But importantly, I guess, I think God understands that. Yeah. you know, for me, it's one of those things that I've struggled with. I'm not a morning person, but getting up and having that time just to myself before anybody needs me and anybody's asking me for anything. And I'm, you know, hunting down snow boots and coats and trying to put socks on a wiggly toddler, you know.
Yeah.
To be able to just to have that moment with God where it's just him and me. And my husband has commented before that, you know, I'm a much nicer person when I get up early in the morning and do Bible study, which is funny. Yeah, I would think I'd be crankier, but apparently I'm nicer. So he is a big supporter of it and has always been willing to, you know, get our daughter if she wakes up before I'm done. So that's been a blessing. But then also, you know, I've been doing Ann Voss Camp's The Greatest Gift for Advent, her devotional, her new book that she has out. And it's funny, somebody was talking about, they're like, oh, I wish I had time to read it. I will tell you, I read that while I brush my teeth.
It's really fast. Yeah.
It's really fast. And I don't have to sit at a table with a candle lit and a cup of tea and, you know, all the fancy schmancy, you know, decor around me.
Right.
And a comfy chair to read it.
The ambiance doesn't need to be fancy.
I have 2 minutes here where I need to be brushing my teeth anyway. I can hold a book in one hand and brush my teeth. So, you know.
Well, and I this weekend, I think it was before church or something, and I normally get up, but we'd been out Saturday night, and so I was like, you know, I'm just going to play Luke 2 on my phone, or Luke 1 and 2. You know how they have where you can, on YouVersion, you can play the Bible.
Yes,
they'll read
that.
It to you, and it's the guy who's does the C.S. Lewis plays, and he's got this awesome voice.
So good.
And, oh my goodness, it's amazing how when you're listening to it versus reading it, how certain lines pop out at you just the way he emphasizes them. And it ministered to me more than anything. I, you know, just straight up Bible being read to you.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can do that.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and also Dayspring has these awesome little day brightener, perpetual calendar things.
Yeah.
That, each day has an inspirational quote or a Bible verse or whatever. And there's all different ones. There's one for motherhood that Encourage just put out, which is awesome. And I'm obsessed with it. And there's one that Holly Girth has one, and her stuff is always so encouraging. I mean, that's just kind of who she is. So, you know, those little moments just to have those kind of scattered throughout my day. And then I just make a point to, you know, I listen to podcasts on my drive to work, and I listen to worship music on my drive to work. And so I fit it in where I can, you know, and it's not any set specific time, but it's just finding those little things that work in this season. And, you know, it's going to look different whenever Maddie's older. And she sleeps till 11, and that's going to be fantastic. And I'll have 2 hours to, you know, have a quiet time before I drag her out of bed when she's a teenager. So, you know, and I can look forward to that. But right now, you know, it's just, it's not feeling guilty that it doesn't look like what I think it's supposed to look like. It's finding what works for me and just finding joy in the fact that right now this is what I can do and it's working for me. And, you know, God is speaking to me through it and changing my heart, my life through it. And I'm going to take it and, you know, consider it a gift from God that I can do any of these things with technology and the time that I have. And
I think that's, it's really good to remember in all of this. That we don't do these things, spend time with God, spend time in his word, pray with our friends, because we have to. And if we don't do it, God's going to smite you down. It's because he wants his best. Just like you're saying, how you view Maddie, you see how God views you. He wants you to have the best life you can have. And he knows that the best life you can have is when you are anchored in truth, when you feel his filling of the Holy Spirit, when you are guided by Him and when your focus gets off your own problems and your own anxieties and your own stresses and your own efforts, then you are more joy-filled and more peaceful. It's not like He's standing over you with like a whip, like, read your Bible, lady. It's more exactly. Just like, this is a better way to go. Like, you really will find, just try it out. I dare you. Try a week where you just change up the schedule and not wait and see if you have time, but like put it in first and make it an appointment in your calendar if you have to. And see if you feel a difference. And that's God's favor. That's His grace that, wow, when you pursue these things, you will find joy
and peace. Amen. What a good word.
All right. Well, Crystal, sadly, our time is up.
I know.
Which is so amazing. It goes so fast. But thank you for coming on and sharing your story and sharing what God has been doing through motherhood for you. And I can't wait to see what comes of all you are doing. You're just starting out. So much growth and joy to come. It's awesome.
Well, thank you so much for letting me jump in and be part of your awesome podcast. I'm so excited.
Well, it's a treat for me too. I love talking. Yay, yay. Thank you all for listening.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the God-Centered Mom Podcast. I hope you enjoyed our guest as much as I did. And if you're looking for resources on how to replace me with He, go to GodCenteredMom.com. I want you to know that God is just as present at your kitchen sink as your church pew, that He sees your service and He is pleased. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you, and He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Have a great day.